coalition forces and begin striking selected targets of military importance.
It would be a decision which could only be taken once.
There's no argument over the choice between peace and war.
Unconfirmed reports about Gaddafi being captured.
This morning, I want to talk about the future of Europe.
Burning Point.
Hello and welcome to the show with me, Ekaterina Kudoshkina. The two-day meeting of Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit, with the participation of the leaders of Russia, the United States, China and Japan, as well as other regional leaders, opened in China. This year, the theme of the 25th annual summit is Shaping the Future Through Asia-Pacific Partnership. To quote the Chinese daily, the Global Times, at the gathering of business and political leaders on Sunday that preceded the meeting, Chinese President Xi Jinping, for the first time, offered the world a vision of the Asia-Pacific dream. Well, now we are joined by our guest speaker, Zhao Daozhong, professor of the School of International Studies at Beijing University.
The three major breakthroughs, one is obviously that's more to a Chinese agenda. That is, you know, there will be announcement of a agreement to collaborate in anti-corruption. And mm-hmm. this is very important to China because we have many fugitives on the run. Second is to begin a, now I think the wording is changed a little bit, basically to study the possibility of towards moving towards an Asia-Pacific free trade area. It's not feasibility study, but it's to do research about it. Mm-hmm. And third is to work on the value chain and what other aspects of what's called connectivity. That's a buzzword. Basically, it's to look at how more than just tariffs, how we can promote trade and investment among the member states.
And there's been a meeting between Russian president and the Chinese leader at the sidelines of the summit already. How did the meeting go, and what are the results? What is the outcome of this meeting?
The Chinese press has been quite positive about the meeting between President Putin and Chinese counterpart President Xi. Obviously, you know, this is, the APEC is particularly geared towards economic affairs. There is an announcement of an additional gas pipeline, the so-called Altai pipeline, from Russia to China. There mm-hmm. are other, I believe, 16 other memorandums or agreements signed. Some of this may be a confirmation of what was promised in the past, but nevertheless, that is significant as well.
And how has the U.S. President, Mr. Obama, spent his first day at the summit?
That's my knowledge of his schedule, as publicly disclosed. His first major task is to be in the U.S. Embassy, inviting the rest of the 11 heads of states who are also here for the APEC summit to the U.S. Embassy and talk about the TPP without the Chinese president.
Professor, thank you so much. And just to remind you, our guest speaker was Zhao Daozhong, professor of the School of International Studies at Beijing University.
Burning Point.
And now we are joined by our next guest speaker, former Russian ambassador to South Korea and Myanmar, Gleb Ivashintsev.
China plays a very special role in Asia-Pacific now, as an economic power, first of all, because for last 2 years, China has produced 50% of economic growth in Asia-Pacific. And China has introduced a lot of very important initiatives for further economic growth of Asia-Pacific. China has introduced new ideas.
What kind of ideas?
Well, you see, for example, the idea of innovation reforms mm-hmm. and ideas of developing infrastructure and interconnection between the economies. Actually, Chinese are very active in promoting the idea of Asia-Pacific free trade zone. And their suggestions for improving of logistics and financial infrastructure of the region is very important and promising for all the economies.
Well, absolutely, and also quite challenging for their main competitors.
You see, the situation in the Pacific is not simple now, because we all see a kind of confrontation between the United States and China now. And while the Americans are trying to dominate the area by rather methods of pressing, China is open for cooperation and for harmonization of relations in the area. China is in favor of including all members of Asia-Pacific community into cooperation, while the United States are trying to organize a special U.S.-dominated Asia-Pacific club, which they call Trans-Pacific Partnership. It is very interesting that they are not inviting neither Russia nor China into this Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Which makes it a rather confrontational project.
Yes, of course, because now all members of Asia-Pacific communities are divided actually in two groups. Some economies are in favor of this Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is dominated by the Americans, and other economies are united into regional comprehensive economic partnership, which does not include United States, but is headed by China and the members of the ASEAN.
This is Burning Point. We're following the progress of the APEC meeting in China. Our guest speaker is Ambassador Gleb Ivashidze. What has Russia brought to this summit? And, of course, how are the bilateral meetings going?
For us, it is very important to reconfirm our interest in developing economic contacts with Asia-Pacific countries. Because the APEC summit in Vladivostok 2 years back was a kind of start of our introduction into Asia-Pacific. Russia, for Russia, Asia-Pacific is very important. Two-thirds of our territory lies in Asia. And without becoming a Euro-Pacific power, Russia cannot retain its status as a great power. And for our economic development, this context with Asia-Pacific is very important. But still, our trade with Asia-Pacific is just one quarter of our overall trade. We need investment from Asia-Pacific, and we need to get our economy integrated into Asia-Pacific processes, because Asia-Pacific now serves as a kind of locomotive of the world economy. And it is very characteristic that the ideas which were expressed in Vladivostok, they coincide very much with the ideas expressed by China at present Beijing APEC summit. You see, the idea of stress on energy cooperation, the idea of innovative reform, the idea of developing cooperation in transportation. China is promoting now the idea of Asia Bank for Infrastructure Investment, and we hope that it will help us to develop our transit possibilities, like Trans-Siberian Railway, Baikal-Amur Railway, and also exploration of Northern Sea Route, which may serve as a kind of new transportation route between Asia and Europe.
Well, there are other countries with which we find it a bit more difficult to lead a dialogue. Well, Japan, for instance, as far as I understand, Mr. Putin was already meeting the Japanese leader.
You see, APEC summits always serve as a platform for bilateral meetings between leaders of the economies. And President Putin already had very deep discussions with China Chairman Xi Jinping. He met Chilean President and he met Prime Minister of Japan. That meeting with the Japanese Prime Minister is very indicative. Japan is the only Asian power which joined the economic sanctions against Russia, which were introduced by the United States. And in spite of it, Prime Minister of Japan himself initiated the meeting with President Putin. And we hope that it will help us to overcome that negative position of Japan in connection with the events in Ukraine.
Getting back to the United States, do we need to expect another failure from Mr. Obama at this summit, or do we still have hope that something more rational is going to emerge of his tour of the region?
I do not think President Obama can bring anything new or positive to the summit. Frankly speaking, he's called a lame duck in United States home politics, and to much extent he's a lame duck in the international politics as well. And for last 2 years, he used to talk about that American pivot to Asia and all that, but all that pivot came out as just a repetition of old politics of Cold War period, when the main stress was on strengthening this military alliance is there. United States have not offered anything positive for Asia-Pacific agenda within last years. And we are sorry for that, because United States is an important power, and we want to expect some positive moves from them. But unfortunately, these moves do not come.
Ambassador, thank you so much. And just to remind you, this time our guest speaker was Gleb Ivashintsev, former Russian ambassador to South Korea and Myanmar.
Burning Point.
And finally, our next guest speaker, Kerry Brown, professor of Chinese politics and director of the China Studies Center at the University of Sydney. Now, Professor, and for many states, this week is, in fact, a sequence of summits. And to crown it all, Australia is hosting a G20 summit on the 15th and 16th of November. What do you expect of it?
Well, it's an enormous thing for Australia. I mean, the G20 has never been here before, and it's the first time so many of these leaders have come to Australia as heads of state or government. So it's a big deal. I think for Australia, it's looking for, I guess, a kind of, some kind of economic blueprint. As I said just now, the real kind of issue is sustainable economic development in the region. I mean, this has got to be the medium to long-term strategy, that the region's growth is important to the world. It's important to the region to have this sustainable growth. And there's a need to have a new basis for economic cooperation. And so, for Australia and for all of the Asian countries attending, that's really uppermost in their minds, and how they work together with other partners in the G20 from elsewhere in order to achieve that. That's important, and do it in a sustainable way, because the problem that all the G20 members will have is, these big imminent challenges of climate change or of an environment which is changing very, very quickly, a natural environment, and the obvious fact that no one country is going to solve this. They're all going to have to stand together and solve it. So I think that's probably something that Australia would be interested in being involved in, although Mr. Abbott has a, sort of different idea about climate change sometimes, and maybe isn't as worried about it as he should be.
So, thank you so much. And just to remind you, this time, our guest speaker was Professor Kerry Brown, the director of the China Studies Center at the University of Sydney. And now we end this edition of Burning Point, brought to you by me, Ekaterina Kudashkina. Thank you so much for staying with us. Goodbye, and take care.